Thank you, Donnie.
It is a great pleasure to be with you this evening. I always stand behind the pulpit with a little bit of, I guess, apprehension is the word, because I never know just exactly how to approach a thought or a subject, or the words to use. It seems like words fail me many times to express myself, or I fear that I do not really say what I think I say or intended to say. And I guess I ought to listen more to the tapes that come back to me to see what I did say, and if that's really what I meant to say. This morning, as I listened to Brother Frank, and last Sunday as I listened to Brother Brickhouse, but especially this morning, I thought, well, you know, that's what I was going to say. And I do want to express my appreciation to God for my many blessings. Yes, my thoughts tonight are concerned of Thanksgiving, and I am reminded that many times as I visit in the homes or the little congregations of our scattered members, I often say something like this, that among my many blessings, you are counted as my blessings. And particularly this last visit I had in a Picayune, Mississippi, we stood in the little living room of the Williamses there, and I said that, and I really meant it, that I counted a blessing to be able to meet with them and to know them. Something that a few years back I didn't know them. I had heard about them sometimes, but I never got to meet many of our brothers and sisters across this broad land of ours. And it's a great blessing to be there. And afterwards, Sister Carol, that's Brother John's sister, said, "I count you my blessing." And she looked at Peggy, said, "You're one of the greatest blessings my brother ever had. You did so much for him, and he'd do so much for me." And then I was reminded of this past 2 weeks, of the blessing that my brothers and sisters have been to me. I undertook to put up a little hay for my winter feed for my cattle, and I couldn't get it done before I left the 1st of October, so I told Brother Dan that I would do it when I got back in November, which is a little late for that kind of a process, because you usually depend on the heat to dry your hay out, and of course it had been a real dry summer for the most part. But I finally did get to it, and I don't remember what day it was now. I cut the hay down, and it was dry, had about 2 or 3 days to dry, and it was just right. But I didn't want to bother my son Jim to borrow all of his equipment to drag it all the way up from Lone Jack to bale it and get it in the barn. So I was going to put it in the barn loose like I used to do back when I was younger. I guess I had forgotten just what a job it was. But at any rate, we proceeded to start. Irene and I did. She was driving the truck and I was loading the hay on, and Jesse came out. Grabbed a pitchfork and he went to work. And after about two loads, we realized that there was no way we was going to get that in the barn that night, and it was supposed to rain the next day. Wade was working along, and who would drive in but Brother Trevor Ratt from Richmond. He stopped, talked a while, and he said, "What are you doing this for?" He said, "I got a baler up there in my building that you can have. Just come up and get it." And said, "Just follow me up and I'll give it to you." And I said, "Well, you know, I got to get this in the barn tonight before it rains." And we talked for a while, and he had some work for Dan to do on his computer. And so he went in the house, and we continued working till we it got dark, and We got about five loads in and hadn't even made a good dent in the work that had to be done. So the reasons I had with Brother Trevor was that he would bring it down the next morning on his way to work because he was working in Kansas. And then he called me later that night and said, I got a problem. And I thought, well, now this is my chance to help Trevor. And he said, and I didn't really understand what he was telling me until I got up there the next morning. His had one car that was in trouble, and his wife had to have another car to take the kids someplace for some part of their homeschooling. And evidently he couldn't pull that baler with the pickup he was driving or something. Anyway, he didn't have a vehicle to bring the baler down with. And so the reason was that I was going to go up there, get up there by 7 o'clock the next morning and pick up that baler before he had to leave for work and bring it back, which I did. And it did rain, and the hay got wet, and we give it a day or two, and it started to dry, and I thought, well, it's now or never because it's supposed to rain again. Well, I got the baler and the tractor, and Dan's tractor, by the way, and again, because my tractor won't work with it. It won't have the right kind of equipment with it. Anyway, we made one round through there, and every bale came out that was broken and scattered all over the pasture or over the field, and we stopped. By that time, the bale had jammed up to where we couldn't get the hay out of it. The bale was stuck, and so we had to take all the tensions and everything loose of it and dig that hay out of there a piece at a time. And got that. Dan is helping with it. They came out and helped me with that. And so we start out again, and the same thing happened again. And I think it happened two more times. And finally, in exasperation, Trevor had called that day. This was Saturday, by the way. Trevor called that morning and said, called Tyree and said, if you need help, just give me a call. And, I'm not going to call Trevor all the way from Richmond down here because the hay is a little bit damp anyhow. I'm probably wasting my time, but I felt like it had to be got off the ground. Well, finally, in exasperation, I called Jim. What I wasn't going to do, because he was tied up, he had more to do that day than he could handle anyhow. And he was doing some other things for somebody else. And he told me to take the tension off of the baler, and so there just was not much tension at all, so it wouldn't pack it too tight, and to try it again, which I did. And we finally got it to working, and we was baling, and I made just about one round through the field, and who would drive in but Jim. Well, he had me take all attention off of it at that time, and we was able to get the hay baled and get in the barn. A little bit wet, but it's in the barn, and we made some other precautions, I think, that may help it to cure out without spoiling or molding. But the blessings that God sent me that day was just, beyond words. And I want to thank my God for it. Trying to think where I do want to start now. I picked a scripture from the 2 Nephi in the 6th chapter to start our thoughts this evening, starting with the 99th verse. Here, Nephi, is talking about to his brothers about the condescensions of God. Come, my brethren, everyone that thirsteth, and he's quoting from Isaiah, because he said he rejoices in the words of Isaiah in his writings. I think it's the 55th chapter of Isaiah. Behold, my soul, come, my brethren, every one that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do not spend your money for that which is no worth, nor your labor for that which cannot satisfy. Hearken diligently and remember the words which I have spoken, and come unto the Holy One of Israel, and feast upon that which perisheth not, neither can be corrupted, and let your soul delight in its fatness. Behold, my beloved brethren, remember the words of your God, and here this is Nephi speaking to his brethren. Pray unto him continually by day, and give thanks unto his holy name by night. Let your hearts rejoice, and behold how great the covenants of our Lord, and how great his condescensions unto the children of men. And because of his greatness and of his grace and his mercies, he has promised unto us that our seed shall not utterly be destroyed according to the flesh, but that he would preserve them, and future generations they should become as righteous and as branch unto the house of Israel. True, he's speaking of the house of Israel here, but that message went forth to all the world. That's the same message that Christ gave to his apostles when he sent them out to go into all the world and preach his gospel. One of my thoughts tonight is that there is a synonym for thanksgiving that was mentioned here that I think is worth consideration. See if I can pick it out of here again. It said, feast upon that which perisheth not, neither can be corrupted. Let your soul delight in fatness. Behold, my beloved brethren, remember the words of your God, and pray to continue by day, and give thanks unto him his holy name by night. Let your hearts rejoice, and behold how great the condescensions of our Lord, and how great his condescensions upon the children of men. I took the Strong's and I looked up this word thanksgiving and rejoice, and to see what the word really meant that was translated into rejoice and thanksgiving. And there's four different words in the Greek that was translated into thanksgiving. I guess I'll try to pronounce them so you know they're different. It's yoife eno, in good form, good frame of mind, fair, make glad, be mercy, be merry, and rejoice. And the other one is sung ka e eno, ero rather, to sympathize in gladness. Congratulate and rejoice in or with it. And the other one is ka'ino, ero, K-H-A-H-E-E-R-O. Calmly happy or self or well off. Solution or meeting or party. Be well, farewell, or glad. It's a salutation for a greeting or a parting, and it's to be happy and well off. Godspeed, greeting, hail, joy, or joyful and rejoice. And the last one is ag-ali-aho. Be exceeding glad, with exceeding joy, rejoice greatly. And that was in the Greek, and if you Hebrew, it comes out about the same. But thanksgiving, one of the definitions is gratitude as an act of worship, thankfulness, and giving thanks. And the other one is express gratitude, to say grace at a meal, or to give thanks. No, wait a minute. That was Greek also in the Old Testament. No. But that was thanksgiving in Greek. In Hebrew, it's extension of the hand of adoration as a choir of worship, confession, sacrifice of praise, and thanksgiving. And it's amazing that the times that the word rejoice is used with thanksgiving. And this one word, number 21, one of the early ones in the Greek, and for rejoice, is exceeding glad. And my feeling tonight is that in thinking of thanksgiving, we need to be more exuberant about it, more outgoing, and more, I don't know what other word to use, excited. More excited about the thanksgiving and praise to our God. And my thought was taken along with what I just read there about the plan of God to the 10th chapter of Luke and the 17th verse. Christ has sent out his 70 there in that chapter and told them to go into the house of Israel and to preach to them, and they came back, and it said in the 70th verse, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils were subject to us through thy name. And he said to them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. And quite often I fear that we give more thought and more time to rejoicing or giving thanks for the material things of life. He said, rejoice because your names are written in heaven. What is that all about? That is the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what the gospel of Jesus Christ is for, that our names might be written in heaven. If we would go back to the first of that chapter 6 there in 2 Nephi, it says, Now behold, my brethren, I would read these things unto you that ye might know concerning the covenants of the Lord, that he has covenanted with all the house of Israel. That he spake unto the Jews by the mouth of his holy prophets, even from the beginning of time, from generation to generation, until the time come that they shall be restored unto the true church and the fold of God. And that brought my mind back to what Brother Buzz said last Sunday morning. He said, you know, that someone asked him what they do, some of these other congregations, what do you do when you go into like Africa as a missionary? We preach and we teach. He said, well, what do you do that for? So they know all about Jesus Christ, and they go over there for humanitarian aid and things like this. He said, but they have not been taught the gospel of Jesus Christ. Sure, they know about Jesus Christ, but they don't know about the gospel of Jesus Christ. They have had a watered-down form of it. And we are there to teach them the true gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's what it says here, that the Jews were given through the holy prophets, even from the beginning down into the generation to generation, till the time comes that they shall be restored unto the true church, the fold of God. And that's what they are doing. And as Brother Frank said this morning, you know, we're in the last days. It's quite evident. And I talked to Brother Frank a few minutes after the service there, and he said, 5 years ago we would not imagine what we see going on in the church today. It would be beyond our farthest thoughts. Even as the gospel had gone into Yucatan, and I'm not finding fault with Yucatan, but it has been slower by 1,000 times than it has been in the Philippines and Africa. And it's still, even at this time, it's not growing like Philippines and Africa is. Certainly it's the hand of the Lord. Certainly it's the hand of the Lord. Something that we need to praise God for and to give thanks and to remember that we're living in that day when he is going to return to them. Going on, the rest of this reading backs up what Christ told the 70 when they said, "Rejoice that your names are written in heaven." And then starting with the fourth verse, "Behold, my beloved brethren, I speak unto you these things that ye may rejoice and lift up your hearts forever because of the blessings which the Lord God shall bestow upon your children. For I know that ye have searched much, many of you, to know the things to come. Wherefore I know that you know that our flesh must waste away and die. Nevertheless, in our bodies we shall see God. Nevertheless, in our in the body he shall show himself to those at Jerusalem, from whence we come. For it is expedient that it should come among them. And it becometh the great Creator that he suffereth himself to become subject unto men in the flesh, and to die for all men, that all men might become subject unto him. For as death hath passed upon all men to fulfill the merciful plan of the great Creator, there must needs be a power of resurrection. And the resurrection must needs come upon man by the reason of the fall. And the fall cometh by reason of transgression, and because man hath become fallen, they are cut off from the presence of the Lord. Wherefore must needs be an infinite atonement. Save it should be an infinite atonement, this corruption could not put on incorruption. Wherefore the first judgment which came upon man must needs have been remained to an endless duration. And his soul, this flesh, must have laid down to rot and to crumble to its mother earth and to rise no more. O the wisdom of God, his mercy and grace. For behold, if the flesh should rise no more, our spirits must become subject to an angel who fell from before the presence of the eternal God and became a devil to rise no more. And our spirits must have become like unto him, and we became devils, angels or devil, to be shut out from the presence of our God and to remain with the father of lies in a misery like unto himself. Yea, to that being who beguiled our first parents, who transformed himself nigh into an angel of light, which stirreth up the children of men unto the secret combinations of murder and all manner of secret works and darkness. O how great the goodness of our God, who prepareth the way of our escape from the grasp of this awful monster, yea, that monster death and hell, which I call the death of the body, and also the death of the spirit. And because of the way of deliverance of our God, the Holy One of Israel, this death of which I have spoken, which is a temple, shall deliver up its dead, which death is the grave. And this death of which I have spoken, which is the spiritual death, shall deliver up its dead, which spiritual death is hell. Wherefore death and hell must deliver up their dead, and hell must deliver up the captive spirits, and the grave must deliver up its captive bodies, and the bodies and the spirits of men shall be restored one to another. And it is by the power of the resurrection of the Holy One of Israel. How well great the plan of our God. On the other hand, the paradise God must deliver up the spirits of the righteous, and the grave deliver up the bodies of the righteous, and the spirits and the bodies are restored to itself again, and all men become incorruptible, immortal, and they are living souls, having a perfect knowledge like unto us in the flesh, save it be that our knowledge shall be perfect. Wherefore we shall have a perfect knowledge of all of our guilt, and our uncleanness, and our nakedness, and the righteous shall have a perfect knowledge of their enjoyment, and their righteousness, being clothed with purity, even with the robe of righteousness. It shall come to pass that when all men shall have passed from the first death into life, insomuch as they have become immortal, they must appear before the judgment seat of the Holy One of Israel, and then cometh the judgment, and then must they be judged according to the holy judgments of God. And assuredly as the Lord liveth, for the Lord God hath spoken it, and it is his eternal word, that which cannot pass away, that they who are righteous shall be righteous still, and they who are filthy shall be filthy still." That's what we're supposed to be thankful for. We're to be thankful for the plan of salvation that God has given to us. True, the other blessings of life are, we need to be thankful for them, because he does bestow that more abundant life and enjoyment unto his children. But the real joy and pleasure and purpose of the gospel of Jesus Christ is to bring us to his throne of grace and to pass through that. I mentioned a while ago, I read you the definitions, and I don't know how much that meant to you as far as the meaning of the words that was translated into thanksgiving and joy. But you know, I don't have any concern about what words was used in the Book of Mormon when they was translated into joy and thanksgiving. Can you tell me why? Why don't that bother me?
Done by the Holy Ghost.
Done by the Holy Ghost. It wasn't done by a scholar. It was done by the power of God. And we have no way of knowing what the words was, because God took the records back away and we do not have the original writings. But we know that what they were translated into in this English is the words that God gave them, exactly what they're supposed to mean. And sometimes when we, in our Spanish class, we are comparing the words that was translated from the English into the Spanish, and no, that's no big concern to mine. I know the English was first in our day. It's what God gave us. And what went into the Spanish was somebody's opinion of the meaning of the word. And of course, I don't know enough about Spanish to contradict anything anyway, but I'm not concerned about the words or the meaning of the words that we read in the Book of Mormon, because they're the words that God gave us. And that is the purpose of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I would like to turn now to Moroni, the 10th chapter. I believe that's what I want anyhow. I read this last Wednesday night in our prayer meeting, but as I thought about it, and I've the desire to use it again this evening, and I'm only going to use from the 27th to the 31st verses. He had been talking about the gifts of the Spirit of Christ and the faith and hope and charity and the way to be saved in the kingdom of God. And again, I would exhort you that ye would come unto Christ, that ye may lay hold upon every good gift, and touch not the evil gift nor the unclean thing. And awake and arise from the dust, O Jerusalem, yea, and put on the beautiful garments of all ye daughters of Zion. And strengthen thy gates, thy stakes, and enlarge thy borders forever, that thou mayest no more be confounded, that the covenants of the Eternal Father which he hath made unto thee, O house of Israel, may be fulfilled. Yea, come unto Christ and be perfected in him, and deny yourself of all ungodliness, and if ye deny yourself of all ungodliness, the love of God with all, and love God with all your might, mind, and strength, then is his grace sufficient for you, that his grace may be that by his grace you may be perfect in Christ, and if by the grace of God you're perfect in Christ, you can in no wise deny the power of God. And again, if by the grace of God you are perfect in Christ and deny not his power, then you are sanctified in Christ by the grace of God through the shedding of the blood of Christ, which is the covenant of the Father unto the remission of your sins, that you become holy without spot. And now I bid you all farewell. And as soon as I soon go to the rest of the paradise of God, until my spirit and body shall again reunite, and I am brought forth to triumphant to the air, to meet you before the pleasing bar of the great Jehovah, the eternal judge, both the quick and the dead. He's telling us here that to come before that pleasing bar of God, was sanctified, as it says, we must come unto Christ and to be perfected in him. And I got to thinking, you know, sometimes when we, and Brother Buzz said something about this too, Frank did too this morning. They said, they're always learning. They come into the church, but they don't know it all, and they're learning day by day. And so it is when many of us came to the knowledge of Jesus Christ as we grew up. Some of us did in the gospel. We look something like that. We're a little bit rough on the edges. And as Brother Buzz said, you know, we went out and we preach to them and we teach them. But that's all they can do. They can't straighten out those edges. That's something that I have to do to myself, for myself, and you have to do for yourself. And so we are taught the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we take that gospel and we can cut off those rough edges. Become perfect in Christ. That's what the gospel's for. To cut off those rough edges. And we can see the need of that among all of our people. Brother Frank said this morning that, you know, the gospel is progressing in those lands in unbelievable numbers. But we need to be perfecting ourselves to fulfill our responsibilities that this work may go on. You know, as you read through the Book of Mormon, and even as Moroni himself in his last writing is recorded in Ether, was concerned about us. He was really concerned about us. That was one of my next, the fifth chapter of Ether. And the 33rd verse. And again, I remember that thou hast said, and this is, though it's in Ether, it's Moroni talking. Thou hast said that thou hast loved the world, even to the laying down of thy life for the world, that thou mightest take it again and prepare the place for the children of men. And now I know that this love which thou hast had for the children of men is charity. Wherefore, except a man shall have charity, they cannot inherit that place which thou hast prepared for the mansions of thy father. Wherefore, I know by this thing which thou hast said, if the Gentiles have not charity because of our weakness, that thou shalt prove them and take away their talent, even that which they have received, and given to them which shall have more abundantly. And it came to pass that I prayed unto the Lord that he would give unto the Gentiles grace that they might have charity. And it came to pass that the Lord said to me, if they have not charity, it mattereth not unto thee, for thou hast been faithful, wherefore thy garments shall be made clean. And because thou hast seen thy weakness, and he's talking about his weakness in writing, and I think he writes beautiful myself, thou shalt be strong, even unto the sitting down in the place I have prepared from the mansions of thy father. And now I bid Moroni bid farewell to the Gentiles, yea, and also to my brethren whom I love, until we shall meet it before the judgment seat of Christ, where all men shall know that my garments are not spotted with your blood, and that they shall know that I have seen Jesus, that he hath talked with me face to face, and hath told me in plain humility, even as a man telleth another in mine own language concerning these things, and only a few have I written because of my weakness in writing. I'm just trying to find the word that I want to say. But in my giving thanks to God, I want to thank him with all the strength of my body and my mind and soul for his word, for the Book of Mormon and for the Bible, that they work together for the promise that they've given to us, for that hope. And for what shall we hope? We're told there in the 12th chapter of 3rd Nephi that we should hope for the atonement of Christ, to stand before his judgment bar of God, that we might, let me turn to that. He said, I've given to you my gospel, and this is the gospel which I've given to you, and it came into the world to do the will of my Father, because my Father sent me. My Father sent me that I might be lifted up upon the cross, and that after I've been lifted up upon the cross, I might draw all men unto me. That I have been lifted up by men, even so should men be lifted up by the Father to stand before me to be judged of their works, whether they be good or whether they be evil. And for this cause I've been lifted up. Therefore, according to the power of the Father, which I will draw all men unto me, that they may be judged according to their works. It shall come to pass that whosoever repenteth and is baptized in my name shall be filled. And if he endureth to the end, behold, him will I hold guiltless before my Father at that day when I shall stand to judge the world. And he that endureth not unto the end, the same shall be also hewn down and cast into fire, from whence there is no more return, because of justice the Father. And this is the word which he hath given to the children of men. And for this cause he fulfilleth all the words which he hath given, and he lieth not, but fulfilleth his words, and no unclean thing can enter into his kingdom. Therefore nothing can enter into his rest, save it be those who have washed their garments in my blood, because of their faith and repentance of their sins, and their faithfulness unto the end. And this is a commandment: repent, all ye ends of the earth, and come unto me, be baptized in my name, and be sanctified by the reception of the Holy Ghost, that ye may stand spotless before me at the last day. Verily, verily, I say unto you, this is my gospel, and ye know the things that ye must do in my church. For the works which you've seen me do, that shall ye do also. For that which you've seen me do, that shall ye do. Therefore, and if ye do these things, behold, blessed are ye, for ye shall be lifted up at the last day. That's the great promise of God unto us. And that's what we need to be thankful for, and not to the least degree forget the other blessings, such as I told you in the beginning, the help that I received from my brothers and sisters, the joy that I have in meeting with them in their places of worship, wherever it may be, the joy that I have in my secret closet as I lift my hearts unto him. And yet I do not have the words or the ability to express my joy and my thanksgiving unto my God. But I know that if it wasn't for these things, we would be among most men most miserable. God has prepared them for us. I have some other scriptures that I thought I might share with you. In the 18th chapter of Revelations, at this time, John and his was shown the things that coming to the end, and he saw the destruction of Babylon, that she was destroyed, and the merchants and those who gained from her were amazed at her destruction. And I'll start with the 19th verse. And they cast out, and they cast dust on their heads and cried weeping and wailing. This is the people of the world, saying, alas, alas, that great city wherein were much made rich all that made ships in the sea by reason of their costliness, for in 1 hour she is made desolate. Rejoice over her, thou heavens, and ye holy apostles and prophets of God hath avenged her. And the mighty angel took up a millstone, a great millstone, and cast it into the sea, saying, thus with violence shall that great city of Babylon be thrown down, and shall be found no more. And the voice of the harpers and the musicians and the pipers and the trumpets shall be heard no more in her, and no craftsman whatsoever craft he be, shall be found any more in thee, and the sound of the millstone shall be heard no more at thee, and the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee, nor the voice of the bridegroom or the bride shall be heard no more in all thee. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth, or by the sorcerers, and all nations were deceived. And in her was found the blood of the prophets and the saints and all that were slain upon the earth. But it says here that when they saw this, they were the righteous were told to rejoice. And he calls them, he over her. That word rejoice, it was, let me read it to you. Exceeding glad, with exceeding joy, and rejoicing greatly. And I have, like I said, to me, that rejoice is a synonym for thanksgiving. That we, in true thanksgiving, we cannot help but rejoice. It's not just a word or a thought, but it's a inward expression of joy, and knowing where that blessing came from. As we partake of our food on Thursday or whenever we might get together for our Thanksgiving, and like Brother Frank said, they have Thanksgiving any day of during the month of November there in the Philippines, we should do it with a great joy and excitement and praise to God, because we know that He gave it to us. We didn't do it ourselves. We didn't. He provided all these things for us and has made us to prosper. And as we read through the Book of Mormon, we see that the trend there, that when those people were obedient to God and followed His commandments and kept them and had charity and love one for another, and they prospered. They became rich. And what happened when they became rich? And this is one of the problems that we have in our society today. We have become a rich people. Even some, in spite of the unemployment problem that we have, as a whole, we are a rich people. We cannot imagine. And as we listened to Brother Frank this morning about you remember the size of that home that woman lived in, that elderly woman? He said it was 5 by 7, I believe it was. That's not any bigger than my car. Roof was a little higher probably, but it's not much bigger than my car. And we'd think it terrible if we had to live in a place like that. And you know something else he didn't say? He said, I didn't see any bathroom facilities. And there are a lot of people throughout this broad world of ours that are living in conditions like that. And we have all the niceties that can be had. Even some of our poorest have those. And of course there are those that we call street people and that have nothing at all. But for the most part, we are a rich people. We cannot imagine, nor would we want to try to exist in a situation like that. Should we be thankful? Should we be thankful? We should rejoice and give praise to God for the blessings He has given us. And He told us that we are living on a promised land, a land that's full of flows of milk and honey. And He has told us that He would prosper us as we are. But the hour is coming. The last days, Brother Frank told about, are days that can be of great sorrow. Unless we repent and come unto Christ and may be perfected in Him. Because those things will be taken away from us. And they'll be just like a night vision or dream. They'll be gone. And we will exist without them. Then we will understand what those people are living in. And yet, they are so excited and so eager to learn of the true church, the true word of God, that in just a short period of time, as we have there in the Philippines, we have over 1,000 people, 1,000 members, and it's growing daily, apparently. I wish we could say that about us here in the United States. I forget who I was talking to the other day, and he said he was talking to some of his friends and explaining to them what the scriptures say about the word of God and what God has required of us, what we do, what the Church of Christ is all about. And he said, yeah, I know, but we don't do it that way anymore. So what? You know, so what's written? What difference does it make? And as I said, there in, I think it's the fifth chapter of Revelations, maybe it's the third chapter, we think we are rich and we have no need of God anymore. And that is the attitude of much of our society today. It doesn't matter what God has said. I have what I want, and I have what I need, and I don't need any more. In 1 Peter, I have another scripture there I want to share with you. Starting with the third verse in the first chapter, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trials of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, ye believe, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Rejoice because your name is written in heaven. Because had it not been for the gift of God's only Son, Jesus Christ, that would not be. As it said, if it had not been for that infinite atonement, we must perish with the devil himself and be miserable like unto him. But God in his great mercy and love and great wisdom and knowledge has prepared a way that we can have salvation. And it was told it's not complicated. It's so simple that even a fool, a wavering man or a fool, need not err therein. But we make it a lot more complicated than God intended for it to be. Just to be obedient unto his law. To come unto him, to be perfected, and to cut off those rough edges, and become perfect and straight before him, be sanctified, we might stand before his throne of grace at the last day. Yes, rejoice. I was thinking too of the story in Acts, the 16th chapter. This story is about the time that Peter and not Peter, but Paul and Silas, I believe it was thrown in jail because of they had healed a woman that was possessed. And because of the fact that Satan had possessed her, they were making merchandise of her in the things that she could do. And when she was healed, why she couldn't do this anymore. And so those who were using her to get gain had Paul and Silas put in prison. And they had beat them with stripes. And while they were in prison that night, they told the jailer to keep them, put them in security and to keep them safe so nobody could get them out. And so he put them in what he called the inner chamber, you know, not the first cell, but back several doors back. And starting the 26th verse, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, on awakening out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved and thy house." They spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. He took them that same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his, straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set the meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. Can you imagine the joy that he had when he was about to take his own life because of what he supposed had taken place? And yet Paul and Silas remained there. The rest of the story is quite interesting, I think, that the magistrates had taken counsel during the night and decided that they couldn't keep Paul and Silas anymore, and so they was going to just turn loose. And Paul says, no, I'm not going to be turned loose. You beat me publicly, and you're going to apologize publicly. And when the sergeant told these words unto the magistrates, they feared when they had heard they were Romans. And they came and besought them and brought them out and desired of them to depart out of the city. And they went out of the prison and entered into the house of Lydia. And when they had seen the brethren, they comforted them and departed. Now he said, you know, Paul said, you're not going to turn us out. They're going to have to come and take us out of here. So they're going to have to see that the magistrates turned us loose. But that man was rejoiced. And I can imagine the joy that he had. As it was back in the third chapter of Acts, when the day of Pentecost, when they wanted to know, when they realized Peter had told them what had happened there that day. And it was an evidence of that this was the Jesus Christ that they had crucified. And he said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do? Now what do we do? You told us we're guilty. What do we do now?" And he said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, that you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promises unto you and all your children, and to all those that are far off, even as many as the Lord God shall call." And many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, "Save yourself from this untoward generation." And they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking bread and prayers. And so I hope we will take the opportunities that are ours, not just this coming Thursday on the day of Thanksgiving, but every day of our life as we go to our God. Not just every day in November, but every day of our lives to rejoice and to give thanks unto God and to, I was going to say shout to all the world. And maybe that's a good thing to do. As those people over there in the Philippines are doing. They tell their neighbors. They are so excited about it that they don't keep it to themselves. And yet we know that many of our friends would not want to hear it. I'm reminded of a time when I was working there and my buddy and I were traveling. I think he was going down to Clinton, Missouri, to the powerhouse down there. And I don't know how the conversation got started, but we got to talking about the gospel. And I don't know what this young man's religion was for sure. I know he was a Mason. And I think probably his religion was Methodist, but I can't be positive of that either. But anyway, the priest said, let's don't talk about that anymore. It bothers me. Let's don't talk about that anymore. So, no, they don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear about the gospel of Jesus Christ. But we know it. We have heard it. And we need to rejoice in it and to praise God and to give thanks. And I'll leave that with you, hoping that it has been of some value to it, as it is to me. It gives me renewed hope and courage, and I pray that it will give me increased effort as well. God bless you.
Thank you. I notice there is a little vial of pills that have been found today, if you were missing those. Also, get a bulletin and look through to plan your schedule for events. And I don't believe it's on the schedule, but December 13th, there is a wedding here of Melissa Denham and the Orr boy, and I can't think of his first name. Tim, yeah, I apologize. If you will, open your books to number 274 for our closing song. Thank you for that hope that is within us,
of the opportunity to come before you and to be amongst your people, to live with you eternally. We would pray that you would help us, that you would guide us and give us that strength that we might perform your labor and do your will. We would ask that you would go with each one of us as we go into the world, as we face the temptations of life, that we might be guided and directed in all things. We would ask that you would protect us, to keep us from evil and from danger. Bless our young people in their decisions and in their path. We'd ask that you bless the sick and the afflicted, the discouraged, the isolated. We again thank you for all that you have given us. For we know that you have given us much more than we can conceive or perceive. So we ask that you would accept of our thanks. We ask these favors in Christ's name. Amen.